We are going to be talking about waiting, okay? Waiting on the Lord. My wife told me that I should just start the session by just staring out at the crowd for a while. I'm really seeing how everyone does it, waiting. Which in and of itself, that is a great skill. If you do counseling, silence is a glorious friend. But that's not really the main point that we're talking about here. So my name is Greg Wetterlin. I'm one of the pastors at Faith Church here, and my main responsibility here is over our men's residential addiction counseling ministry, Restoration. So I've been doing that for about the past 8.5 years. And the theme that we're thinking about here, focusing on waiting on the Lord, is personally been very, very significant, and then just in ministry and so forth, just such a huge, huge theme in the counseling room and in just helping people. In fact, one of the first graduates of the program from Restoration, I can remember counseling him just repeatedly, wait, 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 wait. And my counsel to him to wait was not because things were not going well. He was actually doing really, really well in the program. He had 2 very young sons, and he was like, man, I think I'm ready to go back. I need to be the husband. I need to be the father. God's called me to be. And I wasn't looking at things in his life going, oh, you still have some serious problems. Like, if you want to be that, like, you need to wait. He was doing so well, but I was like, man, in God's sovereignty, he had you sign up for this length of a program. I would trust in the sovereignty of God. I would wait. And I mean, to this day, I still believe strongly in the sovereignty of God and that waiting on the Lord is always the best move. But to make a long story short, he did wait. Now, it was not easy, which is why the counsel was wait, 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 like every single week. But throughout that time of waiting, God started to work in his heart and he was like, you know what? I actually want to leave my secular kind of area of work. I want to help people in addiction. I want to help people, like, get out of what I've been in. Like, well, that's pretty cool. And then it started to move more into, no, I don't just want to help it. Like, I want to be part of this ministry, which was a fledgling ministry at the time. So he was wanting to move to Lafayette. He wasn't from Lafayette. He was wanting to work in Restoration. And that, like, that's a big ask because he's essentially wanting to ask his family to move cities to where they don't know people, where it's like, you've already, you know, uprooted their life once by lying and spending them into debt and so forth, and now you're just going to ask them, like, let's uproot again for me. That's a big ask. But another huge piece of this waiting was that God was also working in his wife's life, and that was one of the things I told him. I said, God might be totally done with you, but if you leave early, you might shortchange what God wants to do in your family. I, again, just believe in the sovereignty of God in that. I didn't have any sort of master plan, but as these pieces are happening, she's getting to the point where she prays to God, all right, I am ready to follow him. Lord, if he is ready to lead, I want to follow him. She came down for a visit that weekend, and he said, what do you think about moving to Lafayette to maybe be part of this ministry, which I had no money for at that point, and part of this church? And I mean, she was like, well, that's a big ask. But that's what I was praying for, like, on the way down. If he hadn't waited, that would have never happened. If he hadn't waited, I don't think she would have gotten to that point. And then it was still, before he was finishing, it was probably at that point when they decided they were going to move down here, there's probably like a month left in the program or something like that. And it wasn't until, like, the week before he was done that I somehow dug up $30,000 to pay him part-time, at least for the next 9 months. Now, he's been on staff full-time now for 7 or so years. And it's like, I didn't have any of that plan in my mind, right? I have no master plan, right? It's like, wait on God, wait on God, wait on God. And as I counsel people to wait, oftentimes, same counsel to me. They're going, well, what's going to happen? I don't know, right? Like, I'm waiting on God too. And that, I mean, that's a scary thing when you're trying to help people, right? If you're like, well, I don't know where you're going to live in a week. I don't know what housing is going to look like. And they're looking to you for help. Yeah, that's a scary thing. But it's like, man, do we actually believe on waiting on God? Or is that really just something for our counselees? Okay, now I could tell story after story of just the blessings of waiting on God. I could also paint it in a really negative picture, all of the just horrendous stories of not waiting on God. In fact, that guy that works for us, his roommate, is one of the poster childs of not waiting on God. So it's just very, very interesting just how they were juxtaposed against each other. But we're going to begin with just thinking about the fact that waiting is important. One of the reasons that waiting is important is because everybody has to do it. Okay, now we'll talk about there's good ways to wait and bad ways to wait, but everybody has to wait in life. How many of you have ever seen the movie Willy Wonka? Yeah, remember, I think there's a really, really spoiled kid in there that it's like, bosses her dad around, give me this, give me this. Like, she essentially has to wait for nothing. But how many people liked her? Like, nobody. Oh, you liked her, okay. All right, there's one, okay. Wonderful, mercy, okay. Yeah, it's like, some people like get away with waiting less, but usually it doesn't go well. Right, so that's kind of an extreme, but everybody kind of has to, common grace-wise, learn how to wait if you're going to be a reasonable person in life. Another reason that waiting is important is just like physical growth and maturity takes time. Okay, like if you want to drive, like you can't just, I realize you have to take a test, but like you can't take a test to be tall enough to see over the steering wheel. Right? You can't cram enough in to go, I know enough, I think I'll skip over 10 years of the growing phase and just be tall enough. You have to wait, okay? Then you also see it in like seeds to plants, right? Unless you have the magic, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk beans, you can't just put them in the ground and get fruit right away, okay? Materials to buildings is another way that you see waiting is important. It's a lot to just turn materials into usable products. Then if you're building a building, it takes a little bit of time to do that. Okay, everybody has to learn on waiting. God designed it into this world, right? That's part of the point. It is the fabric of this world that you have to learn how to wait. But not everybody learns how to wait in such a way that they grow and it benefits them into eternity. That's a big difference. And so that's kind of the key point here is the aspect of spiritual growth. Like, it depends on time, okay? Time is so, so critical. Spiritual growth only comes over time. Now, it is true that someone goes from being dead to alive in a moment, right? It's true that you go from being unsaved to saved in a moment. But if you think about what happens in where Jesus says you have to be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven, right? If that's true, the analogy there of being born again, it certainly comes from the analogy of physical birth, and there is a process even to physical birth. Would that be true? Right? So there's a process to spiritual birth as well. So even though at some moment in time it happens where you go from dead to alive, there's a process. Okay? Now, the process is important, okay? And so even though spiritual growth takes time, you know, one of the things that I think is important to recognize is in the process, like when you think about it from a birthday standpoint, even though the 9 months or however long you're in your mother's womb, if someone asks you like when your birthday is, what do you say? It's like the day you come out of the womb. You don't say when labor started or when conception started or happened or when like my parents met. Like, all of that involves a waiting period and a process, okay? So I'm not trying to deny that, like, spiritual life comes at a moment, but waiting is crucial, crucial, crucial to become a Christian, and then it is vital after you become a Christian, okay? Then you have these verses, which are, I mean, we could pick hundreds and hundreds of verses that are getting at this aspect, but in Romans 5, we're told that we not only rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, right? And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Or James 1, 2-4, which essentially gets at the same thing, producing steadfastness. Steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Okay, the point in these is very, very clear. You cannot learn endurance in a sprint, and if endurance and steadfastness is how character comes, you can't get that in a moment. You can't force that process. You know, a key question to ask here is,